You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're really going to have to carry me this week, Nate Dogg. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. This is our NFL Week 13 gambling study sesh, or gambling powwow, betting breakdown. I don't know, whatever we're calling it now. Hopefully we can extrapolate some value from this week's NFL card and give you some winners. Speaking of winners, I got to bring in my handicapping homie and betting bros of Nate Dogg. Nate, how we doing this week?
We're back in action. We're doing good. Hoping you're good over there in California. I heard you couldn't find any eggs.
Yeah, I was very, very butthurt about that. Went to Ralph's the other day. Yesterday, looking for eggs, looking for chicken thighs, and they had neither. I can't figure out what's going on. I don't know. I hear certain parts of the social media whining about some supply chain situation. That's all over my head. All I care about sports stuff, but now I got to dig into some research, I guess, and figure out what's up with these eggs and the supply chain thing. That's not what we're here to talk about, though. You kind of caught me off guard, as you guys can probably tell, with the eggs comment and me whining about it on Twitter.
I just saw it on Twitter, and I was like, I'm bringing it up. I'm saying the eggs thing once.
Oh, man. You know what? No, I'm not gonna open this can of worms here. Let's just talk some football, shall we? Hey, how was your week 12? Because mine was a nightmare.
Week 12 was let's look back over our best bets. So week 12, I was 3-3, which pushes my overall to 16-10. I hit little Thanksgiving Day treat with the Chicago-Detroit under, hit fairly easily. I believe that was like 17-15, 16-14, something like that. Carolina, Miami did not hit my under. Eagles did not hit under. Or Eagles did hit under. Texans minus 2.5 missed. They were an absolute embarrassment against the Jets. The Ravens minus 3 missed, and the Seahawks plus 0.5. Jeez, I messed those up all. Chicago under hit, Eagles under hit, Ravens minus 3 hit, Texans minus 2, Carolina under, Seahawks plus 5, all missed. There we go. A little bit better.
You did better than me. My record that I tracked was 2-3. I don't know if I wrote down the plays that I gave out on the podcast wrong or you did. I thought I gave out a Turkey Day teaser with the Lions and the Cowboys, which had failed. Maybe you have it as our, as my best bet on, according to Twitter, or on Twitter, as Lions and Vikings. So either way, I'm just going to chalk it up as a loss because I felt like I lost. I did lose. I did have a losing week in the contest. And after I chalked that one up as a loss, I went 2-3 in the podcast plays, which brings me down to 30-31-2. So what I'm saying, Nate, you're going to have to help me out here. This sucks. I feel like I'm seeing it pretty well, and then Sunday doesn't go my way. But I whiffed on the Titans plus 6.5. Mike Vrabel had his guys fighting for a lot of that game, but Patriots pulled away. The Browns plus 3.5 was kind of a tough beat. I don't know, like if you intercept the quarterback 4 times, you probably should cover 3.5, but Browns didn't do it. Justin Tucker ended up putting that game up to a 6-point margin in the final minute. That one kind of hurt. I did cash the Packers money line. I actually put a huge side bet on it, so somewhat saved my week. And I did hit my other Thanksgiving Day bet, which was under 45.5 in the Bills Saints. So overall, it was a down week for me, or a letdown week for me. But you're going strong since you joined this podcast.
Yes, yeah, still on the plus 500 or better every week so far. So let's hopefully we can keep that up.
Hell yeah, man. All right, so we have a 14-game slate we're going to cover, obviously, one Thursday, Sunday night, and Monday night football game. There's 7 1 o'clock games, and what's the rest? I think 4 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock Eastern Standard games. We got to shout out our sponsor, though, Tipico Sportsbook, who's a global sports betting leader. They're now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older to play. Please see the website for details. You can get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey, 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. All right, so like I said, 14-game slate, Nate. Obviously, we're going to start in Thursday Night Football here in a second. There's four teams on a bye, though. Carolina Panthers, Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, and the Cleveland Browns are those four teams. We'll just jump right into the Thursday night game, which is the Dallas Cowboys visiting the New Orleans Saints. Actually, before we talk about it, I'm just going to give everyone an update on how I'm going about this. I'm going all the odds that I'm that we'll be referencing and discussing is on pregame.com's Game Center app. It's just because they have the consensus number across all the sports books, and I want to try to handicap these games as close to how everyone else can access these lines. Does that make sense, Nate? What I just said?
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Okay, I hope that wasn't confusing. Essentially, I'm just using the consensus numbers instead of our sponsored Tipico sports book, which we love. But and if you're out in Colorado and New Jersey, please check them out. But without any further ado, let's get into the betting breakdown of this week 13 slate. Cowboys at the Saints, Thursday Night Football. How do you see this, Nate? It's a tough one, huh? Or no?
So, what?
Is this a tough one? I think it's kind of tough. I just think every game this week is tough, though.
I think I'm in the point where I think every game's a trap game. I look at it, trap game. So I was actually talking with Jeff earlier about kind of how almost every favorite is on the road this week. Dallas at the Saints, Eagles, Jets, Vikings, Lions. I mean, it goes on and on. Like every favorite, I was like, and it's hard to cover on the road. It's hard to win on the road in the NFL. With that in mind, I would lean to Dallas. I like 4.5 as a number. I just don't trust New Orleans, especially after watching them on Thanksgiving. They just looked awful. But I prefer the under. So it's not necessarily a short week since they both did play on Thanksgiving. But Thursday nights have generally been an underpalooza this season. It just teams don't score well on Thursdays. And then on top of that, the Saints' best offensive lineman, Terron Armstead. I believe it was Armstead. They have two really good linemen, Armstead and Ramczyk. It's Ramczyk. Ramczyk has been ruled out. We still don't know about Kamara. We know the Saints are probably, I guess, likely with air quotes, going to start Taysom Hill this season. Or this game on the other end. So you have their offense. You don't really know what to expect from there. And then on the other end, you have the Saints defense that ranks third in rushing yards allowed per game with Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis. The Saints also rank 11th in opponent's completion percentage. And they typically are going to force their opponent to throw the ball. So I feel like that kind of skews the numbers there. I still think the Cowboys probably hit 24, 27 points here. I'm not really worried about them getting points on the board. I'm worried about the Saints getting up to 20 or getting to 17 to really hit that 47.5. Now, the cash and the tickets are both on the over, and I'm just not seeing the Saints giving up 30 at home, nor am I seeing them scoring 20. So one of my better bets of the week, I think I'm just going to keep riding the under on the unders on Thursday Night Football. So under 47.5, it might be the play.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. I like 47.5. It's one of my best bets, too.
I couldn't make myself lean Cowboys. I couldn't do it. I want the Cowboys to win. It's just the Saints just look so bad.
No, if anything, I leaned it. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, Sean Payne's just going to figure it out. That was my last little bit. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome after losses, or the Saints are after losses typically. I just got a notification that Alvin Kamara, Armstead and Ramczyk are all questionable for Thursday. I thought Kamara and Ramczyk were trending towards playing, and Armstead was still iffy. So not sure what the official word is on that stuff. Yeah, Taysom Hill is supposed to be the starting quarterback. Mark Ingram's coming back. I leaned the Saints just because like Mike McCarthy's out with COVID, and Dan Quinn is this week's coach for the Dallas Cowboys, and Sean Payton literally just ran him out of the NFC South. Feels like we got a coaching mismatch pretty epically. Also, I do think Taysom Hill is a huge upgrade from Trevor Siemian, and that's more me making fun of Trevor Siemian than it is praising Taysom Hill. But I just think, like, it's a back against the wall game for the Saints. Like, you know, they're kind of sliding out of contention for the NFC playoffs. They're at home, right? They need to win this game. Dallas Cowboys still don't need to win this game. They're dealing with COVID issues with not only Amari Cooper, sure is coming back, just saying he's coming off of minimal participation in practice. And the Saints just need this game more. But I'm with you on the under. Most of the market, according to Yahoo Sports app and pregame game center, is betting the over. But if anything, there's some reverse line movement towards the under. Also, I think like the injury report more factors in, or the injury report suggests like a lower scoring game. Cowboys get DeMarcus Lawrence back, so and combined with New Orleans having two tackles that are still questionable, I think Cowboys pass rush is going to be able to get there if they can hold New Orleans to some third and longs. But the Saints get back two running backs and Taysom Hill. So I think we're going to see a ground and pound game from New Orleans. They're going to try to play keep away, and it's going to be a lot of, a lot of long play clocks, or a lot of, just a lot of like long possessions from the Saints. Also, like you were saying, these games, these Thursday night games, Nate, they go under. The trend is the under is 10-4 in Thursday football games. Obviously, there's a few Thanksgiving games to add to that. That's why it's, you know, 14 games, even though we're in week 12 or week 13. Excuse me. Also, these teams met twice in 2018, 2019. Do you know the combined scores of those games were 45 points? Like, the one game ended 13-10, and the other game ended 12-10. Dak Prescott played in both games, and I think Drew Brees played in both games. So, I don't know. I just feel like these teams are going to slug it out. It's going to be a battle in the trenches, and I do like the under as well. I guess I'm a little skeptical of it because, you know, me and you being on the same side, I feel like doesn't do so well, but hell, you're winning, and I'm not. So, I want to be on your side.
Got to mark it up. Under right. Saints, both agreed.
Going to the 1 o'clock window here for the Sunday slate or Sunday card, we have the Minnesota Vikings visiting the Detroit Lions. The consensus line on this one is the Lions are getting 7 points. The total is 47. Do you have a play on the side or the total, Nate?
So this is round two of Minnesota and Detroit, I believe. What was the first one? So the first one was that 1917 victory for Minnesota back on October 10th. This time it's going to be at Ford Field. I typically like the Lions. I've watched them several times. I don't know why. They play hard. They just play hard. Dan Campbell has them playing hard. They want to be there for him. They're not going to end the season winless. And Jared Goff is back. Their offense may start coming alive. Both defenses rank in the bottom five in opponents' yards per game, so I'm assuming this is going to be a high-scoring game. I'm not set to really tell anyone to take the over, especially when the Lions are playing. And I'm not sure I love 46.5, also considering that the Lions are 3-8 on the total this season. I'm not going to say take the 46.5, but I am going to say I would play the minus or the plus 6.5 for the Lions. I like the plus 6.5. I think they play hard. And then I was looking some numbers up on pregame earlier. Let me see if I can pull them up real quick. But I'm pretty sure the line hadn't moved at all, but Minnesota was getting a very heavy amount of the money. So it's not necessarily reverse line movement, but it's almost like, so it opened at -7.5 and it's at -7 and they have 85% of the cash and 91% of the tickets. As I'm saying this, and I kind of feel like if the sportsbook really wanted to, I mean, they should have made that -8, -9, -10. If you're going to get 90% of the cash on -7, so they want you in that position. And Hey, I'm taking that position. I don't care. Minus 6.5, minus 7, Detroit. I'm taking it.
Detroit plus 7.
Minus plus.
Yeah. I'm on the same plus side 6. Here, dude. I'm taking the Lions plus 7, too. Yeah, you're right. There is like a line freeze or reverse line movement in Detroit's direction. And I think your market analysis is savvy on this one. Like, everyone's betting the Vikings. Why isn't this up to 7.5? Because 7.5 is a key number, and Vegas doesn't want to put it at 7.5, right? They're cool. Yeah. Keep betting the Vikings. Sure, why not? Keep teasing them down, right? I mean, that's the most obvious. Every week, I'm like, hey, let's bet the Vikings on a teaser, and every single week, they win. All right? Everyone's teasing the Vikings. So, like, it feels like a great spot for Detroit, even though Detroit's obviously cursed. Speaking of which, Dan Campbell cried after the Vikings beat the Lions in week 5. So he got some revenge there. Dan Campbell is probably a guy that doesn't like to cry publicly, right? He's going to take it out on the Vikings. And again, I talked about this, and I'll say this every single episode up until Detroit wins, unless they go winless, but their motivation just grows. Like, they're not going to give up on the season before they win a game. That's just not going to happen. The Vikings are the 22nd team in history to have a 7-point lead or more in each of their first 11 games. And none of the previous 21 were below 500. And this is the stat that I think I've floated out here on this podcast a few times. And most of you have heard this stat either way, but it just like further supports the idea that like there's just bad vibes in Minnesota. Did you watch the Vikings 49er game at all?
I did not.
Okay. Well, Justin Jefferson was visibly pissed a couple times because of Kirk Cousins' throws. And like last week was just another letdown game for the Vikings in a big spot against a big team or against a good opponent. And it's just, I think it's the mediocrity of Kirk Cousins is weighing down on the rest of this team. Also, I bring this up here or there when I want to take a huge underdog. And it's the craziest regular season outcome that I've ever seen. The Minnesota Vikings in 2018 lost to the Buffalo Bills, who had Josh Allen as a rookie quarterback at home. They were 17-point home favorites. They got blitzed this game. Absolutely blitzed. Like, let me pull up the actual stats, because this is crazy to me. All right, so the Vikings lost 27-6 as 17-point home favorites. They had 292 total yards, and they lost the turnover battle 3-0. So it sounds crazy. Lions could actually win this game, but the Vikings have lost worse games or have had bigger letdown games in their like current history or in their recent history. I'm taking the Lions plus 7. I mean, you're on this one as well. Two straight games, or me and you are on the same side of. Hopefully, we're running hot this week, man.
Yeah, let's cross the fingers. Hey, if we're both on the same side, I'm hoping that means something's good. You need to track these bets.
Everyone talks about regression of the mean. If we've been bad being on the same side, that means we're due for some winning correlated plays.
They're the vibes this podcast needs right there.
Absolutely. I'm positive, even though I'm getting my fucking head beaten in this year. Next game on the docket here, Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Atlanta Falcons. I have like a whole card of just cursed teams. It's terrible. I like the Falcons, or I lean to the Falcons in this spot. The Falcons are getting 11.5 points on the consensus line at home. The total is 50.5. There's a ton of money coming in on the total, around 96% according to pregame.com. That's such a huge number. I don't even believe it, but I do believe that the over is getting a lot more love. It hasn't moved, though, from the 50.5 point opener. My thing is, help me out here with this, Nate. I wrote for our website that I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars would beat the Atlanta Falcons. Does it hurt my credibility too much to come back here and say the Atlanta Falcons are going to cover against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the very next week? It feels like it does. It feels like my credibility should be questioned at that point.
I feel like it can only be questioned if it's wrong. So okay, if you're rolling, you're rolling. But it sounds a little crazy. Just a little.
Okay, so does that mean you're on the Bucks? Because I need to hear the counter argument.
No, oh, I'm not. I'm not on the Bucks. I literally put I'm gonna pass on this one. That's all I put.
Okay.
I put a little bit more. I said I think the road team is too much to take here. And this is kind of what I was talking about with the Lions game. Is so pregame says the 84% of cash is on the Bucks. Sure, that's cool. Well, that steamed up from 9.5 open to 11.5 for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
If the sportsbooks really thought, not to harp on the last one, but if the sportsbook really thought Minnesota were going to crush Detroit, they would have steamed that up to 9.5, 10. Yeah. But all right, so let's just get back to this one.
It sounds
Atlanta's
like
has been a little too sporadic for me. And 50 seems high. I'm not going to say 35-17 is not going to happen. It's a divisional game. I didn't like when I was researching, I didn't like it either way.
So let me give you some factors and I'll bounce those off of you. You tell me what you think. First of all, Falcons, I mean, they still have something to play for, and this is their Super Bowl, right? I mean, like, either way, it's the biggest game of their season, home game against the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're ninth in the NFC. Like, they're still very much in the hunt, right? It's clearly a look-ahead spot for the Bucs and, like, a sandwich spot. Big game on the road against the Colts. They're playing on the road against Atlanta, and then they play the Bills next week, right? Everyone, again, is betting the Bucs. It's up from 10.5. But the preseason line was Bucks -4.5, right? So they're adding a touchdown to this line, Nate. Can we really say Atlanta has significantly underperformed expectations, preseason expectations, and Tampa Bay has overperformed? If anything, I would say, like, Tampa Bay is the team that's underperforming preseason expectations. I don't think this gap is widened by 7 points. Do you?
Yeah, no, especially because Tom Brady, maybe he's the MVP frontrunner. No one else even wants it. But he's had multiple games with multiple interceptions, which isn't Tom Brady-like. So is mm-hmm. he going to absolutely trash a weak Falcons secondary? There can be reason to think maybe not.
Yeah, well, my thing, and this is really – there's not a ton of logic here, but the turnover luck, right? They say year in, year out, a turnover luck regresses or progresses back to the mean, but can't that happen mid-season? I mean, Tampa Bay is +8 in turnover differential. Atlanta's -7, right? So, like, my theory is essentially, like, maybe Tom Brady throws one high off of Chris Godwin's hands and Atlanta Falcons secondary's arms, you know, stuff like that. Maybe they just get some fluky bounces. Now, that's not an awesome handicapping angle, but it is an idea that is used by handicappers traditionally. I mean, the regression, the turnover luck regression. Also, Tampa Bay has been really bad on the road this season. They're 1-5 against the spread. They're -7.6 points, an ATS differential. They are averaging 38.4 points per game at home and 25.8 points per game on the road. So they perform a lot worse on the road. To me, it's Falcons or pass. But as I said off the top, like, can I really say the Falcons are going to lose the Jacksonville Jaguars 1 week and then the very next week say, oh, yeah, no, I like them against the Bucks. Like, it just sounds ridiculous, if I'm being honest. It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'd also say, I mean, I'm on 538, and the Bucs have a 99% chance to make the playoffs. The Falcons have an 8% chance. There's not much hope. But if they win this game, that probably bounces up to, what, like 30% chance to make the playoffs?
Sure.
This is almost a do-or-die game for them in playoff mode.
Yeah.
It's the same with the Saints. The Saints are 5-6. If they don't win this week, 5-7, you basically have to win out.
Right. I mean, if they lose this week, Falcons or the Saints, I feel like they're a good fade team next week because it's like, what are they playing for? They're probably just going to quit, right? In a sense. But I don't know. That's all I got for my analysis. It's Falcons. It's Falcons or pass. I'm leaning right now. By the time we get to the window with our best bets, maybe I'll put it on my card. But next game we'll talk about here is the Arizona Cardinals visiting the Chicago Bears. The Arizona Cardinals currently are 8-point favorites on the consensus number. The under is getting bet at roughly 90% clip. Cardinals open as 7-point favorites. and has been steamed up to 8. I like the Bears here. I lean the Bears. Do you have a play in this game, though?
God, we need to get more people on this show just so we don't agree on a lot of these. I just think Kyler coming back, his injuries, the fact that Arizona's weakness is in their ground game. Nagy's just going to try to run Montgomery all the time, get him over 100 yards. I think 8 points is a lot. They've only lost at home twice by double digits this season. And although that seems kind of like a lot, they also lost to the Ravens by 3 and the Bengals. They beat the Bengals at home, which are two good, really good covers. So I'm not here to say that the minus or the +8 is crazy. I like the +8. I think they play way better at Soldier, and I don't think they're going to win. But Murray returning, I still don't know if we know the status of DeAndre Hopkins for this game. But either way, I don't think Arizona is a good 8-point favorite.
Yeah, well, teams off of a bye also, it's good to fade them off of a bye, at least this year. They're 8-14 against the spread, minus 11.1 points ETS margin. Like you were saying, Kyler, he said in a post-game or post-practice press conference today that he's hopeful he can play. So if he's hopeful he can play, it doesn't sound like he's going to be 100%. And 100% Kyler, we saw last year, doesn't even like scratch the surface of his potential. And like you said, the Bears have shown up against good teams at home, and they continuously, you know, that everyone's talking about how Matt Nagy's going to be fired and all the issues with the roster and all that, but you know, they're still in the punt. They're still in the hunt. They're still, you know, they still have things to play for. And then you have the angle where everyone's betting on the Cardinals. So they're just assuming the Cardinals are going to beat up on a team that the market's just down against or down on. It's only a lean right now, though, just because I just want to see the final injury report for Chicago. They have Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, and Allen Robinson questionable to play. So they get some good injury luck. I'll take the Bears.
This is certainly not on my best bets tab, but I would definitely lean to the Bears at least.
All righty. Let's go to the next game then. What is that? Oh, Indianapolis. Oh, it's a fun one. Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Indianapolis Colts are big favorites. Let me get over to that tab right now. The Colts are 9-point favorites. All the money's coming in on them. Opened at 7 points, or the look-ahead line maybe was 7 points. Visiting the Houston Texans, who just I had them in my contest. You had them as a best bet last week, right? Against the Jets. Yeah,
and they just at home crapped the bed.
Yeah, weren't they up 14-3 and just that was it?
They decided
just quit scoring.
They were horrible. They were horrible.
It's a bummer. I'm not gonna bet this game, but this probably should be the game that we bet Houston, right? Because just, you know, it feels like a letdown spot for Indianapolis. The only thing is, like, it can't be a letdown spot because the playoff race for the AFC is just, like, so contentious. It's so stacked. Like, they need to win. They need to handle business. So, you know, I do think they're going to pull it out. And I'm nervous that, you know, Houston really doesn't have anything to play for. And they got crushed in their first meeting. But I don't think Tyrod Taylor played in that game. I don't know. I don't really have much on this game. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, that was a Davis Mills game. I looked it up earlier. He had 2 interceptions. And while I do think it's a good buy low spot for Houston, an 8.5 on the road is a lot of points. I don't see this game hitting 45.5. So I like the under. And I also think Indy's in actually a really good spot to tease. So most games don't end within 1 or 2 points. I don't think Indy hasn't had a game in between 1 or 2 this entire season, and they've had 2 overtime games. So I also wouldn't hate putting Indy in a teaser. So a little bit more on the analysis side, Houston scores under 15 points per game, and they put up 3 last time these two teams played. I'm not really sure I see Tyrod Taylor making that big of a difference, especially after what I saw last week. I think maybe it's just I'm so mad that they didn't cover that last week that this is kind of where it's going. And if the Texans have anything, they have a couple playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, linebacker Zach Cunningham's still really good. And the Colts can score, but They threw two passes for over 25-yard touchdowns last time. I believe one to Mo Alie-Cox and the one to Michael Pittman. Carson Wentz is good, but I'm not sure that he's going to be delivering. I'm not sure he throws dimes over 25 yards for touchdowns that often. So I kind of think this is going to be kind of a more balanced game and kind of a lower scoring game. I just don't see Houston putting up 17, and I also don't see Indy repeating their 31-point performance on a Texans defense that's not awful. I mean, they're not great against the pass, but they're pretty good against the run, and that's kind of what you need to do against Indy to have success. Also, when I looked it up, this was more a pros versus Joes game with more money on the under, but more tickets on the over. So I'm thinking 45.5 is a pretty good one for this game to go under. And then I also like Indy teased down to 2.5.
Yeah, I don't hate it as a teaser play. It's just, you know, what keeps me away from it is it being a road favorite in a division game. That's, I don't know, that's a tough one to tease, but you're probably right. They're probably going to handle business and at least cover, you know, 3 points, which I think is what you would if you teased it down, or you would need if they teased it down. I don't hate your analysis at all. I'm sorry, what's up?
No, also, as you said, they're 6-6. They got to win this game.
Yeah.
Like, they got to.
Yeah, it would be it would be a crushing loss if I was a Colts fan, right? And they cannot lose this game. But it just feels like last week, that loss last week to Tampa Bay is a bit of a gut punch, and it's going to be like a get-out-of-town game. Like, it's just going to be like an unnecessary 26-23, like, barn burner. Like, it shouldn't have been that close, but they made it that close somehow. And to your point, Football Outsiders grades Houston's defense as, what is it? It was 8th or 9th. Hold on. Yeah, they're 8th in defense. Like, Football Outsiders calls Houston Texans, says the Houston Texans have the 8th most efficient defense. No one would guess that in Football Family Feud. So, I don't know. I have nothing else on this game, though, so let's just move on. To the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the New York Jets. Again, me and you faded the Jets last week, took the Houston Texans. They crapped all over us. Philadelphia Eagles just continue to get love from the market. This line opened at 6.5. It's currently at 6.5 in the consensus, but with more juice on the Eagles. So it's trending up to Eagles -7. Most of the market's on the Eagles. Around 75% of the action or tickets are on the Eagles. I don't get it, dude. I don't, like, the Eagles are back-to-back road favorites. Why is that? Like, I mean, they've beaten the Falcons. They've beaten the Panthers. They've beaten the Lions. They've beaten a Broncos team. Who have no-showed for several games. And they beat the Saints, who were super banged up when they played the Eagles. Can you explain to me, like, the market love for the Eagles? Like, the sharps love?
Just like Philadelphia. I was just in Philadelphia, and I think they just have a kind of a strong fan base. And I think Hurts is kind of a polarizing player sometimes, and I think you also couple that with people looking at the Jets and just saying, hey, you suck. And I think that combo is probably why. I actually don't think the 75% of the money in the tickets are on the Eagles. I don't think I trust that.
You don't or you do?
Oh, I do. I trust it. I just think people hate the Jets. Same with the Giants. It's the same with the Texans. People aren't, they could play anyone, almost just not each other, and they would be 80% on the other side.
I agree. But that's why the Giants cover more games than they don't, which is absolutely outrageous because I'm a Giants fan and they're a goddamn disgrace. But I don't know. If you bet on them blindly every week plus the points, like, you'll be profitable. It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't know. Like, to me, it's just Jets or pass. Like, the Eagles, the Jets were -1.5-point favorites on the preseason. Now this line is all the way up to Eagles -7. The 5-7 Eagles with is Jalen Hurts even practicing right now? I don't think he is. Isn't he injured?
He hurt?
He's questionable to play. Their 3 starting running backs are questionable. Devontae Smith is questionable. The center is questionable. I cannot understand how you can bet the Philadelphia Eagles in here. I can't. I'm going to end up with a goddamn New York Jets plus 7 bet slip on my account come Sunday. And let me just tell you, as someone who's been gambling on sports for, I don't know, like 20-something years, I would say betting on the New York Jets is probably as close to smoke and crack as sports betting gets. Like, I'm going to end up betting...
Good analysis.
I'm going to end up betting the Lions, the Falcons, and the Jets this week. Like, why don't I just go outside and light money on fire? Like,
Let's throw that Jags plus 12 and a half in there as well.
I mean, why not? The Jags are far less cursed than the Lions, Falcons, and Jets, which is saying something because the Jaguars are terrible. I'm talking myself out of all my bets. Let's just move forward with this podcast before it gets really depressing. Actually, this is kind of a positive note, or it could be positive. Your Cincinnati Bengals, Nate, are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. How do you feel about your team? You were at the game last week, right?
Yeah. How do I feel about team mollywhopping our rivals? Yeah. Hell yeah. That was a sick game. 41-10. I left before they even scored their touchdown because I was like, why hang around when we're up 30?
Hold on. Let's bring people behind the curtain, though. You bet the Steelers. You did bet the Steelers.
Yo. We don't need to talk about this.
I know we got your friends listening, and they're probably pissed. Like, wait a second. You're rooting for the Bengals the whole time.
Friends, I was like, I'm going to the game. Might as well do a little win-win, throw a couple bucks on the Steelers. If they lose, I at least won money. I think the 3.5 is tough, man, especially – I mean, the Bengals are on fire, as you noted. They crush the Raiders. They crush the Steelers.
Is it up to 3.5 or are you on Tipico? Okay, it is.
Wrote down 3.5. Was it at 3?
It's minus 3 with heavy juice, so it's roughly 3.5. It looks like it's going to get to 3.5.
Yeah, so it's tough for me because Joe Mixon's coming off a career day and they're playing who was by far the worst rush defense in the league.
Yeah.
The Bengals offense have had enough bad games for me not really to trust them. And everyone and their mother is on the over in this game for notable reason why, too. I mean, Eckler, all the talent, Eckler, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Chase, everyone is just super talented offensively. And the Chargers suck defensively, and the Bengals are above average defensively, maybe average. I can't get myself to play Cincinnati -3.5, -3. I don't think I can do it. I think 50.5 is a lot for two teams that have both shown quite a bit of sporadic nature. I mean, Cincinnati has played games. I mean, the Browns held them to 16, I believe, and they've also put up 40 a couple times. So I don't think 50.5 is a good total. And it's being destroyed for the over, which has sent it up to 50.5 from 48. So if anything, I play the under, but I'm not going to tell you to play my Cincinnati Bengals. I'm just going to tell you I like that they crush the Steelers.
Nice. I'm going to tell you to play the Cincinnati Bengals. I love the Cincinnati Bengals here. It's one of my best bets. It does feel kind of square after the Chargers got embarrassed and the Bengals just embarrassed a rival, an AFC North rival. You know, usually you want to fade teams coming off of big wins and follow teams that are coming off of big losses. But I just love the vibe of the Bengals. The Chargers can't play complimentary football. You were saying Cincinnati's defense may be average or around average. Well, the success rates of Cincinnati on offense is ninth. They're ninth in success rate on offense and fourth in defense. Pretty sure their EPA on defense is fifth. It's right around the top five. The Chargers' success rate, 11th on offense, very good, 30th on defense. And there isn't a stat you could find to prove that the Los Angeles Chargers are not the worst rushing defense. They are the worst rushing defense, and we can just move on from that. Right? That's a fact.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just going to go back and bold what you said and underline it and bracket
not close.
It. Like they are terrible. They cannot. Me and you might be able to gain 40 rushing yards against the Los Angeles Chargers. I run probably like N8 540, dude. Like I pretty much waddle as I run. I am not a runner. But And Cincinnati's, so Cincinnati's ground game should have a nice day. Mixon should have a nice day. And if Mixon has a nice day, that opens the entire playbook for Joe Burrow. The entire playbook. He can go down the field a few times. You know, he can take advantage of one-on-one spots because of loaded boxes. Also, Cincinnati's second in red zone offense success rate and their top 10 in red zone success rate defensively versus the run and the pass. The Chargers are 23rd in red zone offensive success rate, and the Chargers are 19th or worse in red zone defensive success rate versus the run and pass. I just, the other thing about the whole is 3.5 too much, is 3 too much. Yeah. I think people concern themselves with the points too much. So I saw this stat last week. Every team, like the points, the spread didn't affect any of the betting outcomes, right? If the underdog covered, they won outright. If the favorite won, they covered their huge spread. It doesn't matter. You're just going to pick who's going to win the game, and they're going to cover. So, yeah, like I don't think Bengals -3.5, like it sounds like a lot, and the Chargers can certainly cover that number, right? It could be a close game. They have Justin Herbert. Just going to, like, not think about it. Like, Bengals are a much better team. It's not close, in my opinion. The Chargers are fool's gold. They need you guys to make mistakes. Or, excuse me, they need the Cincinnati Bengals to make mistakes. They need blunders. Like, if you saw how they beat the Chiefs, it was critical errors made by the Chiefs. You saw how they beat Washington week one. It was Washington failing in the red zone, right? That's how the Chargers win, is by the other team shooting themselves in the foot. So as long as you don't do that, as long as Cincinnati doesn't do that, they're going to cover this number. That's what I'm on. That's all I got for the game.
Hey, I'm happy to hear it.
Okay. All right, cool. Next game, we'll talk about my team, this goddamn joke of a franchise. New York Giants are visiting the Miami Dolphins. You guys know the drill. I recuse myself from handicapping this game. It feels like a trap with the Dolphins -2.5, but now they're up to 4, and that feels like too much. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm good here. What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. It does feel like a trap, but I think it's not going to be a best bet. I'll tell everyone that to start. But let's look at what the Dolphins have done. Beat Carolina by 23. Beat Miami. Beat the Jets by 7. Beat the Ravens by 12, beat the Texans by 8. Sure, not a ton of those are like quality victories, but we're talking about at Miami, 4.5. I think it's kind of what you were saying before. I'm not really concerning myself with 4.5. I'm kind of just going with who I think is the better team, and everyone's riding the Dolphins, and that's kind of where I'm going to follow. Now, I will say everyone's also on the under. Pregame has 83% of the cash and 61% of the tickets on the under, and the Giants and the Dolphins may not put up a ton of points, but they also don't have terrific, terrific defenses. I really just, in terms of like the spread sake, I really just think the Giants are that bad. And Miami has been oddly hot. They've won those 4 in a row, covered each. I'm not sold on the Giants, especially without Barkley. I think we've been over. Danny Jones is, he's something else, so.
I think Barkley's going to play. Dan Jones has a strained neck and might miss the game, which means Mike Glennon's going to start.
Might be better.
It could be better. I mean, I'm as a Giants fan, I'm done. Like, dude, you got to pack your bags. I think he's missed 4 games. Eli Manning didn't miss a game in 16 years. Like, dude, Daniel Jones is only effective if he can run. However, when he runs, he either fumbles or gets injured. You're not a franchise quarterback, dude. I guess we'll go fish in the draft again. Or I've been putting this on Twitter for a good 7-8 months now. Dan Jones and the pick that Chicago traded us, which is going to be a top 10 pick from last year. We send that to Houston. We get Deshaun Watson.
And then you have to deal with like 1,000 suspensions, and then you just live your life.
I'll eat a year of backup quarterbacks because he's suspended if we get him and I don't have to watch Daniel Jones. I don't want to talk about the social issues, the legal issues. They sound absolutely disgusting. Football-wise, Deshaun Watson, honestly, is probably one of my favorite football players ever. Like, I was so big on him in Clemson. He was my favorite football player before he demanded a trade and then got this disgusting allegations mounting. Hopefully he can put that all behind him. I'm assuming he will, you know, as crazy, as terrible as it sounds, and it might end up the things that he could end up pleading guilty to or however it works out is not great, but I hate Dan Jones, and we got to get him out of town. There's nothing in the draft.
So I guess the end of the discussion was here is if the Giants somehow go into Miami and win, the Dolphins are absolute frauds, and I don't think the Dolphins are frauds. They've won four straight. I like the 4.5. I don't hate it.
I think Tua is underrated. I like Tua. I think Brian Flores is a goddamn G. If this offense, if this offensive line got better and Will Fuller was healthy and or they got him some decent wide receivers, looks like him and Jalen Waddle are going to be a thing. They're going to be awesome. I'm buying stock in the Dolphins. I'm with you 100%. It does feel like a trap line. And to your point earlier about it being a weird total, the defenses aren't good necessarily. Like, you can't count on them week in, week out. But both defenses, especially the secondaries, are opportunistic. Like, our secondary, they're trying to score points, right? Like, Xavien Howard, the secondary of Javon Holland, they're trying to score points. Like, they're trying to get pick sixes, which is certainly possible with Mike Glennon. And even with Tua. I like Tua, but, you know, he makes mistakes. He's a young quarterback, so I'm with you. Like, there could be like turnovers in short fields, and that 40.5 could actually be a small total. But again, we spent way too much time talking about a game I'm going to pass on. And I think you're going to lean on, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning Miami in the over. I don't have a ton to back it, but it feels better.
Right. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock window of the Sunday games. We have four games here. That feels accurate, right? Well, we're starting off with the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore Ravens currently are favored 4.5. 3/4 of the money is coming in on them. The total is down to 44 with some juice. Could be 44.5, depends on where you're shopping. All the money is on the under. I like the Steelers here. It's a very simple analysis. You know, Lamar's regressed. Pittsburgh, since 2011, as a home underdog, is 11-3-2 against the spread. Just one more ride, Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. Give me one more ride against the Baltimore Ravens. Last five games for Lamar, 61.5% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, 71.4 quarterback rating, and they're coming off of a cover. Did you watch that Sunday Night Football game? No one should have won. That should have been a tie. It should have been a tie, and my goddamn Browns 3.5 should have won. No, that game was pathetic, dude. I don't know. Sorry.
No, I completely agree. It was horrible. And this is going to be a grit show. I mean, this is a bounce back game for Pittsburgh. They can still make the playoffs, especially with that weird tie in there. It's an AFC North battle. The AFC North is best. Call me out here. Best division in football. This is going to be two hard-nosed teams going at each other. It's a nice buy-low spot for Pittsburgh. All the money's on Baltimore. All the money's on the under. Both teams play to the other team's strength, too. They both have great run offenses, and they both have great run defenses. So I'm not sure. I'm kind of with the under. I'm not sure a ton of points will be scored here. Also, dating back to 2015, 6 of the 12 matchups have been decided by 5 or fewer points. So that 4.5 is a pretty that's a pretty wide margin for an AFC North divisional battle when you're on the road. The Steelers are 6-3 against Baltimore over the last 3 years. And the Ravens haven't covered as more than 4-point favorites this season. I'm doing it again. Give me the Steelers. I hate them. I literally hate the Steelers. But 4.5 at home, you're getting it. Big Ben's not done yet.
But to your point, like, Big Ben and Mike Tomlin are going to sit in the locker room and be like, listen, like, this is it for Big Ben. Like, if he can't, like, if we don't win this game, he doesn't make the playoffs, he's retiring. Like,
yeah,
this game is it. All in. We're all in against the Baltimore Ravens.
You just got destroyed on the road to a team that you typically crush. Right. Bengals are awesome, by the way. But yeah, that's it. If you don't win this game, you're done. And it's at home. They're going to have them terrible towels out. They're winning this game. And 4.5 is a ton. And I'm taking it.
And I can talk myself into throwing away the Cincy result, because Cincy's offense is sick. It's multiple. They can do all these different things, right? Like, Baltimore can't. They need Lamar Jackson to be a goddamn superstar, or they're not scoring 20 points. That's it. That's the end of it. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I could see this game 17-13. We get there in a very gross, lame way. But I don't know. I don't see a lot of points being played, although the under is just too obvious. I do like the Steelers plus 4.5. Man, when we get to the best bets, you might just be able to read all of ours. We're pretty much the same.
I have no fathomable way that people are putting almost 80% of the money on Steelers. Like, if you even took a peek for a quarter at Sunday Night Football, you're not laying money on the Ravens.
Right. I mean, it doesn't really matter how bad the Pittsburgh Steelers looked. I mean, Baltimore Ravens were just awful.
They looked worse.
Yeah.
At least I think the Bengals won the game. I think the Bengals beat the Steelers. Like, the Ravens beat themselves, and the Browns just sucked.
Didn't Cincinnati put up 40 on Baltimore? If Baltimore had played as bad against Cleveland as they did the first Cincinnati game, Cincinnati might put up 70 on them.
We freaking put up 41 on them in like week 8.
But the NFL's crazy. Then I think you gave up 40 to the Browns in some weird way. I know.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow threw a 97-yard flat pattern to the cornerback of the Browns.
We destroy the Steelers and the Raiders, and we lose to the Jets and the Bears. Whatever.
Do we all like gambling on football? It's fun, right? It's so much fun. This is so predictable. This is great. I can't wait for baseball season where I really can make some goddamn money. Anyways, next game here on the docket. Oh, I didn't even get the notes here. Oh, we got Washington football team visiting the Las Vegas Raiders. I think they're short favorites. They are -2.5 at home. The total is sitting at 49.5. Seems like a pros versus Joes game on both sides, actually. I had that in my notes for my Washington football team lean. They're getting 2/3 of the money, whereas the Raiders are getting 80% of the bets. So pros are on Washington, theoretically. Same goes for the over, though. Around 60% of the money is on the over, but 64% of the money is on the bets are on the under. So pros versus Joes game, the pros favoring the over. And Washington, where do you put your money in this game, if anywhere?
Yeah, so I don't really have a strong play in this game. The Raiders are coming off a good win. It's a nice time to sell high on them. And it was a much-needed win for them after two blowout losses. At home, I think they have the edge. I kind of like the field goal. When I saw it and I saw the pros versus Joes thing, I was kind of concerned. So the Raiders average the second most passing yards per game, and Washington gives up the third most. So I kind of think Washington's inability to defend the pass and really the Raiders' strength in the pass could be a difference maker. And I don't necessarily trust Washington's over to kind of produce that many points yet. Again, it's the pros versus Joes, and I like the Joes side, so I'm probably just staying away from it.
Yeah, you know, I like Washington. I lean Washington. What I'm going to do, I actually told myself in the middle of earlier this week that I wasn't going to play a teaser, but I am going to play a teaser. I'm going to tease Washington up right now. It's at 2.5, tease it up to 8.5. So my brother makes maybe one bet through me like once a week, one football bet every week. But he actually skips. It's probably every other week. This fool is like 7-1 this year. he just doesn't lose. It's ridiculous. And he likes the Raiders. He feels it's a trap line and everyone's going to come in on the red Washington. I just don't agree. I think Washington's got a significant edge in run blocking, and they are going to be able to move the ball. Also, the Raiders since 2019 are 5-10 as a favorite with a -6 ATS margin. They're a terrible bet as a favorite. And every time they get momentum and you think, hell yeah, the Raiders, which is what people are thinking after they beat Dallas on Thanksgiving, they let you down. So I do have mad respect for my brother. I do understand his point of it being a trap game. But given the trend of the Raiders as a favorite and this being such a friendly teaser leg, I'm going to tease this Washington +8.5. So that's my play in this game.
I don't hate it.
Next game is the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Los Angeles Rams. Two teams that are significantly struggling, but you know they should be in different positions by the end of the year. We'll see. The Rams are favored 13. All the money's coming on the Rams. Jaguars are the unders, getting around 70% of the bets, but the total is stuck at 48. I'm not in the neighborhood of laying 13 points with a team that's struggling as much as the Rams are. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, there's no way I'm doing that. I think my thing is I think everyone expected their defense to be a bit better. They ranked 21st in points against, 14th in takeaways, 9th in opponents' rushing yards, 21st in opponents' passing yards. With Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, you just expected that to all be in the top 10, kind of, or at least I did. I thought it was like, oh, that offense is going to put up – I mean, they're putting up almost 400 yards per game, but they're also giving up 350. So I like Jacksonville here. I don't love 13 and, or 12 and a half. I think it's awfully close to 13. They've covered every time they've been double-digit dogs, though. After a few close showings, this should be a game they hold close. I personally am going to tease it in this scenario. I like it all the way up to 18 and a half. You're going to miss 13, 14, 17. If they lose by 21, I guess I deserve it. Also, screw you, Urban Meyer, if you lose by 21. And so the Jags have the 15th most pass attempts in the league, despite having the lowest completion percentage. So right now, they are riding and they are dying. With riding or dying, whatever. If they're going to win, it's going to be on the back of Trevor Lawrence.
I say what, they're riding and dying.
Yeah, if he can step up, they'll be fine. And as I said, the Rams pass defense has not been as good as people thought. And the Jags are going to throw the ball. Even though James Robinson's decent, they're going to throw it. So, yeah, give me Jacksonville at 18 and a half. Them and the Colts are going to be my teaser of the week.
Oh, baby. Teasing up to 18 and a half. Hey, best of luck, brother. I actually thought I pegged Los Angeles's defense for regression this year, and that was like a part of the reason why I like Matthew Stafford to throw for the most passing yards, which I think was 12-1 when I gave it out. He's third. He's only 98 yards behind Derek Carr, but you know his injury troubles or injury issues certainly leave a question mark on how he's in the play for the rest of the year, even though they did bring in OBJ. Yeah, I'm just kind of wasting time at this point. I have no play in this game, so we can move on. This is a tough one. San Francisco 49ers visit the Seattle Seahawks. The line right now is the San Francisco's road favorites. They're laying 3.5, getting around 77% of the bets. Total has been steamed down from 46 to an expensive 45.5, really. It's more of a line freeze than anything, but most of the money is coming in on the under. Do you have a play in this game, dude?
No, I'm passing it. Seattle's cost me too much points. I still don't – I'm about to bet them again at home for a field goal. I don't think they suck that bad, but apparently their offensive line does suck that bad. So I'm not going to waste your time. I'm passing on it. 45.5 seems like a bad total to bet either side on either.
Yeah, I feel like this is the 49ers getting too expensive, and I'm with you on the sense that it's tough to believe that Seattle is really this bad, and it's tough to believe that it's plus EV or expected value to lay 3.5 in Seattle, even with Russell Wilson banged up. It's just like, you know, the history says that is not profitable. Like, that is not a good bet. So I'm wary of it, but like, these are clearly teams heading in complete opposite directions, right? I mean, everyone's falling back in love with Kyle Shanahan, and everyone's ready to bury Pete Carroll or send him to retirement. And maybe they do need a coaching change. I don't know. Either way, it's a disappointing Seattle season. San Francisco looks like they're getting their shit together. So I'm going to pass, even though I do somewhat think there's value in the home dog. Let's go on to Sunday Night Football, right? The Denver Broncos. This is a AFC West showdown. The Denver Broncos visit the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City's laying a big number. Right now they're favored 10. Up from 9.5, which is the opening line. 53% of the money is on the Chiefs. 81% of the money is on the under. I love Teddy Bridgewater getting points. I just feel like this line screams Chiefs, right? Like, everyone wants... I feel like people are going to talk themselves into betting the Broncos, given that how good they just looked against the Chargers, given how well they've played against the Chiefs historically, and how good Teddy Bridgewater is as an underdog. I am nervous this is a trap game, even though, getting up the team plus 10 points isn't your usual trap spot. I don't know. That's my initial takeaway. I'll dive more into this as the week progresses. Obviously, you guys won't hear my notes or thoughts about it after this podcast, but I got no official play. How about you?
So I'm passing on the spread. KC's a bit too inconsistent for me. So they haven't won by more than 10 at home this season. They won by 10 once, I think. That said, I'm kind of more intrigued by the total. I believe it's 46.5 is what I'm seeing. Maybe 47 now. So everyone's on the under, and I'm kind of leaning towards the over on this one. Denver scored 28 or more in two of their last three. I think although Kansas City has struggled in the last few weeks, I think they're going to get it going at home. I think this has a good chance being high scoring. And Denver has the fifth worst opponent's third down percentage. I just think KC's going to abuse. I think it's going to be high scoring. I definitely could see a 28-24. And I could be wrong, but I think Sunday Night Footballs have actually been like reasonably favorable to the totals this season. I don't know if I could find that in 2 seconds, but I feel like from the games I've watched, Sunday Night Football has been good for the overs.
Okay. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Let's see if I can do this somewhat quick. It's probably not going to be quick, right? Can we say something just to eat time? I don't want to edit this, so I just want to fire.
I'm not sure it matters much. We can just pass on it, but I feel like it's kind of reasonable. I feel like sometimes the day and the night and the prime time feature do impact, like how that, like, I was looking at the totals for Thursday Night Football, and I swear to you, of the 12 weeks, probably 9 of the unders have hit. Like the short weeks, the early games, everyone being off their routine, it is kind of impactful. And I think it's definitely worth noting if 10 of the overs have hit, or even 7 or 8 of them.
I forgot exactly what you said, but either way, the answer is the over is 7-4-1 in Sunday Night Football games this year.
Yeah, and I kind of like that at 46.5, 47 with the Chiefs here. Broncos have been hot. Chiefs are the better offense. Give me the points.
Shit, I don't hate it. I'm not going to follow you, but I'm definitely not going to fade you. Pretty good analysis there. Real quick with Monday Night – well, not real quick, but necessarily. But Monday Night Football, New England Patriots, Buffalo Bills. Game of the week. What a hell of a – there's a lot of – mostly divisional matchups here. And, you know, this one's probably the biggest one. The Buffalo Bills right now are favored – 2.5, heavy juice. It's down from 3. It's probably going to finish at 3. I guess I don't know. Most of the cash is coming in. Excuse me, 2/3 of the cash is coming in on the Patriots. 72% of the money is coming on the under. Actually, 55% of the tickets are coming on the over. So we got a pros versus Joe spot. The market's reacting, or the odds makers are reacting to the under money. They've dragged this total down from 45 with a bunch of juice down to 43. The Patriots as a teaser leg are my second teaser leg. And they're with, I'm pairing them with Washington and taking it to the window with me. It's a tough side to bet. You know, it feels like a great cheap spot to get Buffalo. They were, I think, 7-point favorites in the preseason line against New England. The fact that the Buffalo can be so one-dimensional on both sides of the ball is very, very scary. And if I was a Bills fan, I'd be very, very afraid that we are losing the grip of this division. In fact, they're no longer in first in the division. So how do you feel about this game?
So this kind of feels like the mother of all trap games, especially kind of for both sides. The Patriots have just been so hot, but I don't trust Josh Allen anymore. He was my preseason MVP pick, and I'm not trusting him after he put up 9 points on the Jaguars, or 6 points, or whatever he scored. 6 points. It's two field goals on the Jaguars. Gotta be freaking kidding me. I think the Pats could score 14 or 40. I think the Bills could do the same. Everything I looked up did not lead me any way to loving either way. Both teams have good defenses. Both teams, somehow the Patriots have a good offense. I think that's more just coaching, but I don't have a good read on it. I'm passing on it. I'll probably end up playing something, but give me Buffalo by a field goal, maybe. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm just going to take the Patriots to the teaser because I think this is a one-score game, and if I get it from 2.5 to 8.5, that makes it a two-score spread or a two-score margin that Buffalo would have to cover. It's just they can't run the ball, and they can't stop the run. And if those two things are true against Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, they're going to be able to control the ball, control the clock, and they're going to be able to make your offense one-dimensional. And I can't think of a worse coach in the history of sports that being one-dimensional against. I don't think there's a worse coach to be one-dimensional against than Bill Belichick. I cannot see how there's value in Buffalo. Like I understand this is the cheapest they are, but this matchup is terrible. And this is I can't prove this. I don't have any contacts in the locker room. Not that it really matters, but it just feels like there's more anxiety with the Buffalo locker room, or at least there should be. Whereas New England's kind of playing with house money. They got a rookie quarterback. You know, if they lost the rest of their games, it would be disappointing. But they'd still finish with an above 500 record. Excuse me, they would finish below 500, but they would still have somewhat of a successful season by their standards. Like no one thought they were gonna really compete for the division. It was the Bills or whatever. Like it was just the Bills. Everyone was into and expecting them to go to the AFC title game. I know I did. I expect them to be in the Super Bowl. Still kind of do. So that's why I don't really have an official play on the side other than the teaser leg.
Yep.
That's it, though. So, you know, we're getting out of here. This is the end of the podcast. But like we do for every podcast, we wrap up the show up with our best bets in our final segment we call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, buddy. I was 2-3 last week, 30-31-2 on the season. You're performing much better than me. I think you're 6 games above 500 in your betting record. You take it away. What are people going to – how can people win money this week?
I'm 16-10. I have five best bets. That includes one teaser. I'm going 2 unders. Dallas, New Orleans, under 47.5. Houston, Indy, under 45.5. And then I'm taking Detroit +7 and Pittsburgh +4.5. So there's my 4. And then I have a teaser that is Jacksonville +18.5 and Indy -2.5.
Oh, wow. We have so much stuff on our bet slip. Okay. I'm going to switch it up then. I'm going to go on my sides. I'm going to go Falcons plus the points. Let me make sure what the consensus is real quick, guys. I'll go Falcons +11.5. Just terrible. I'm going to go with the Bengals -3. I'll actually go samesies with you and Steelers +4.5. I was so hyped about that game. Let's ride out together on that one with Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. So 3 sides, Falcons +11.5, Bengals -3, Steelers +4.5. I'm also with Nate on the total of the Cowboys Saints going under 47.5. And my 6-point teaser is the Patriots up from 2.5 or 3 and Washington football team up from 2.5 or 3. Washington's playing Las Vegas, and the Patriots are visiting the Buffalo Bills. But that's your Bet Slippin' Podcast for the NFL Week 13 slate. Hopefully, we made you sharper, provided some value, or gave you some entertainment on your commute, your exercise, while you're walking the dog, whatever you're doing right now while you're listening to us. We appreciate you streaming the podcast. Do us a favor. Show us some love on social media. Be sure to check out sportsbookwire.com. And if you're in Colorado or New Jersey, check out our friends at Tipico Sportsbook. Nate, got anything to say?
No, that's it. Let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, good luck. Peace.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast. featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.